Jason El Pacifico. Bill Hendricks.
And the professor with your wrap-up of the National Football League for this past weekend here on the Bill Henry Show, kicking things off with energy, kicking things off with a star-studded cast of professional football players and the great teams they play for. Professor, let's give them the truth up front.
Well, we were not able to pick one game. The professor and Joe Dickhead got shut out this weekend. So that makes two consecutive weeks that we have been completely shut out.
There are a lot of ways we could go with this. We could have said that we're getting out of the business. We could have been embarrassed. We could have hung our heads and tucked our tails between our legs. Or we could celebrate the fact that we're that bad. We could celebrate the fact that we can't pick one game any better than we can pick a nostril. Now, here are the games this past weekend in the National Football League with Joe Dickhead and the Professor.
I'm Joe Dickhead. I'm the professor.
I'm Joe Dickhead, and here's the professor with the game. We're on the game. Oh, here they are. On Thursday night, it was a 17-3 win by the St. Louis Rams over the Arizona Cardinals. What a big game that was, because it looks like maybe, just maybe, and I'm not saying it will happen, but it could happen and it might happen, that the Rams are going to return to the city of Los Angeles. Now, wouldn't that be a son of a bitch? The Rams come back to L.A. and say 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, who knows when. Here's another final from the National Football League. Here's a game that we thought for sure the Eagles would win. They didn't. It was the Steelers 16, the Eagles 14. We didn't remember, and we should have remembered, that Mike Vick is the quarterback.
I don't think the professor can go, Phil.
Is he okay? You all right, Professor? Well, I mean, I can finish up for you.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you better go, Philly.
All right, I can finish the games if you want.
Just go ahead.
You don't sound too good, man.
I haven't picked a game in 2 weeks. This is great.
Yeah, he's bad, man. Anyway, the results of the National Football League. It was the Steelers 16, the Eagles 14. Let's see what else we had. Oh, tonight, well, this is not Sunday, but it's Monday. Monday Night Football, the Texans 23, the Jets 17. It was the New Orleans Saints 31, the San Diego Chargers 24. The Minnesota Vikings over the Tennessee Titans 30-7. The San Francisco 49ers beating the Buffalo Bills 45-3. It was the New England Patriots over the visiting Denver Broncos 31-21.
But you want to keep the music?
No, you don't have to keep the music. Whatever happened to him, though?
Who is that, Phil? I'm sorry, I just...
Who is what?
Well, who was the man that was screaming like... I've never heard anything like that before.
Oh, that's Joe Dickhead.
Joe... What is his name?
Joe Dickhead. He knew it football.
Joe Dickhead?
Yeah.
Well, what is the point of that? I...
Margaret, let me just... You know, that's a guy that does football scores for us, okay? Not everything around here is Hollywood and politics.
No, I understand the need to do sports. I just didn't understand the need to have a man that sounds like he's having a heart attack.
Well, Joe Dickhead, sometimes he gets screamed a lot, but he got a bad couple of weeks.
Yeah, he hasn't picked one game. He's supposed to pick the games, okay?
What do you mean, pick the games?
For gamblers. He picks the games. He says, this is who I think is going to win. He hasn't picked a game in 2 weeks. They're 0 for I don't know what. So they stink.
Why do you have this man on your program?
I don't know, Margaret. I mean, I could ask, why do I have you?
Well, that's easily... my goodness. Why do you have me? To save your show. That's why you have me.
Oh, yeah, right.
Please, I don't want to start off contentiously, but I don't think that that's a fair comment.
Well, Margaret, I mean, if you're going to ask me why do I have anybody, I have my reasons. Let's put it that way, okay?
Fair enough. Just don't start taking my good name and walking it through the gutter this early.
Not much. Anyway, welcome to the show, folks. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me continue here. Sorry about Joe Dickhead's voice. Although somehow I think that was probably planned for sympathy. Anyway, the Chicago Bears over the Jaguars 41-3, the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's another team that they think might be moving out of Jacksonville to Farmers Field over here.
Yeah, well, the thing about Farmer Field.
Well, Farmers Field is this stadium in the city of Los Angeles that's going to be built. As you know, L.A. doesn't have a football franchise and has not had a professional football, an NFL franchise since the mid-90s. And there are a number of reasons for that, but the most the single most important reason is they don't have an NFL-worthy stadium.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, it means basically that the National Football League requires a certain type of stadium. You have to have a certain amount of seats. You have to have a certain amount of... I don't know if they require it so much as the economics require it.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. The taxpayers of Los Angeles are not going to stand for it. They simply will not stand for it.
Margaret, guess what? The taxpayers are not going to pay for it.
Well, who's going to... Are you telling me private money?
Yes, that's exactly who's building Farmers Field, private money. Now, that's what I heard the guy say.
What guy?
Whoever the guy is in charge of it, I don't know. But it's all going to be private dough, and that's the way it's got to be. Because L.A. is one of these towns, and there's a lot of them, where no way, no way, no way, man. No private dough, or no public dough. Ain't going to happen.
But, Bob, they have, like, a tourism tax.
Yeah, they have that in a lot of places.
No way. None of that tourism jazz. None of it, man. Forget it. Ain't going to happen. Not for a football stadium. Now, you know, in some, there are some cities where they're going to need that kind of thing. They need, I don't know how to put it, but...
Well, I understand there's some cities that want to have a football team because it affords them a level of credibility or credulity that they otherwise wouldn't have as a metropolis. Is that correct?
Well, what it is this. You know, there are some cities that, yes, that they want and need the star power of a football team. Because it's like a big billboard for your city. It can attract other businesses. It can attract commerce. It can attract, it gives the city a little bit of heat when you have that kind of action. A city like L.A. Does not need the NFL to attract heat. It's a city that was born of the you know, for the most part, of the film business, and it's just sort of been an entertainment city ever since. So it doesn't really, you know, whatever. As a result of that, the voters in the city are not going to say, well, you know, we really need an NFL team, so why don't we go out and vote, vote for a tax, because, gosh, look at the upside, blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares, you know.
Yeah, but there's jobs and everything.
Yeah, what about all the jobs?
Whatever, man. What are you talking about jobs? You know, what are you talking about, hot dog stand vendor?
Oh, yeah, what?
What jobs are you talking about, man? Other than the cats that are going to build the place, those are construction workers, and that's a very finite period of time. They're going to build it, and then it's going to be done. And then, what other jobs? Parking cars and hot dog vendor. Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah, but it's better than nothing.
But think about a guy that's been out of work, like an insurance executive or something.
An insurance executive who's been out of work and what?
He can go to the hot dog stand or something.
Yeah, that's it. Any out-of-work insurance... By the way, it's an insurance company that's building the stadium, Farmers Field. So anybody they fire or anyone they can't use, they can say, hey, Charlie, I got a great idea. How about selling hot dogs to the stadium?
Well, I don't think that's funny at all.
Oh, come on, Margaret. It is funny, and it's not going to happen. I hope.
Well, you don't know. Some of the corporate... The corporate consciousness in this country is an absolute... disgusting disaster. And look at what President Obama had to inherit. He inherited a mindset from the Bush administration that it's been something that he's had to swim upstream again. It's like a river of sewage that he's had to swim upstream against.
Well, you know, Ms. Gray, I'd love to be able to engage you on that sometime.
What, do you think you're going to debate me?
Yeah, I would.
Well, Bud's a Romney fan.
Well, isn't that nice? And to quote Al Pacino, I can't remember the last time I blew my own nose.
What's that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I thought it was a very good line from the film.
Okay. To quote Al Pacino. Oh, I know. It's from...
Carlito's Way. God.
Yes, Carlito's Way. It's a great movie. In other games, 16-12, it was the Seahawks over the Carolina Panthers, 9-6. The Baltimore Ravens over Kansas City, a 17-13 win. The Dolphins over the Bengals. It was, and the Dolphins are 2-3. The Bengals are 3-2. I just thought I'd mention those records. The Atlanta Falcons beat the Washington Redskins 24-17. It was the Cleveland Browns losing to the New York Giants 41-27. And the Colts beat the Green Bay Packers. What happened in this game? There was some kind of a bad call, I think. I don't know what it was. But anyway, the Colts win. Andrew Luck and the Colts win 30-27 over the Green Bay Packers, and I think that's it. All right, sorry about Joe Dickhead, but maybe he'll come back and do it again, you know.
Yeah, do whatever they call that.
He can reprise it.
Yeah, he can reprise it. All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show on this Monday night, and we're also online at philhenryshow.com. And pretty important news on the campaign trail to talk about. Obama and Romney and 1 in 5 Americans has no religious affiliation. And where does this leave us? Where does all of this leave us? Where is this? Maybe if we started believing in God, we'd start getting things together. Or maybe we're trying something new, not believing in God. I don't know. We'll be back. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is not our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
At one time, world famous, but hey, we'll get it back one of these days. Who knows?
Why'd you say that?
Just, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, it's like, I'll tell you this right now. I've shut the phones down on this show, and I'll tell you why we've shut the phones down. There's no point. I'm not going to worry about telephones. Telephone calls to talk shows, that's dead. That day is over. Taking calls from listeners, I know that there's all kinds of radio stations that think it's just fantastic, and they just go, oh, my goodness gracious. I couldn't be bothered. It's too much of a bother. I have been handicapped in a million different ways anyway. I got one hand tied behind my back here, so I am not even going to screw around with these phones, okay? So the Phil Henry Show officially, with the exception of the odd guest and maybe the odd call here and there, officially, we're not taking any more phone calls because, as I said, you know, there are some behind-the-scenes things here that I can't talk about, but the fact of the matter is I'm not going to show up for this radio show every night with one arm tied behind my back and look at a phone board that I'm having to screen myself while I'm trying to put a radio show on. So forget the phone calls. Anybody that needs to take phone calls anyway, that absolutely must have phone calls for their talk show to do anything. I'm not talking about succeed, but I'm just talking about for their talk show to be listenable. You got to try something else for a living, okay? I'm sick and tired of it. I'm tired of giving out a phone number. I'm tired of looking at these lines. I'm tired of them being a part of the show. I'm just sick of them. What's wrong with you?
I'm taken aback. So you're saying what?
I'm not taking phone calls, okay? This is an aspect of the talk radio experience that has been so dead for so long. I'm just not interested in it.
Well, what does that mean?
It means I'm not taking any phone calls.
You're taking, like, a guest and stuff.
Yeah, we'll have guests and all that stuff. I'm just telling you that giving out a phone number and look, folks, it's the same 2,000 people calling all the talk shows anyway. It's the same people calling all of the talk shows up and down the dial all across the country. The same monotonous people calling all the talk shows. If ever there was a talk show that was on the air that got new callers, it was mine. But like I said, I'm not walking into this studio every night with an arm tied behind my back and trying to also balance that and balance a radio show. I'm not going to do it. It's a crying shame. And I tell you what, half the time I walk in to do this radio show at night, and I wonder exactly why I'm even walking in here. It's like walking in and doing a show in front of a firing squad. It's like you've got people lined up looking and waiting and hoping you fail. In 40 years I've been in this business, man, and there's some things that never change. Some things just never change, man. And there's a certain way of doing things in the radio industry that is so pea brain and so small. After a while, you can't fight it anymore. So I'm not even, if you think I can't do 3 hours of radio without phone calls, I can do it standing on my head. I don't need it. But I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, I'm going to remember I had this experience.
That sounds pretty ominous.
Yes, I was going to say that sounds a little threatening.
No, it's not threatening. Not threatening anything.
What do you mean by that?
I'm just going to say at the end of the day, I'm going to remember this.
Yeah, and then what?
Nothing. Nothing. I'll just, I'll file it under stuff I'll never do again. I'll file it under sacks of crap that I'll never work with again. How about that? All right. 1 in 5 Americans reports no religious affiliation, study says. 1/5 of U.S. adults say they're not part of a traditional religious denomination, according to new data from the Pew Research Center. Now, is that the reason why we had that we have Obama as a president? Is that the reason why we had George Bush for 8 years as a president? What exactly is that? Is this brand new? Is this something that just took place within the last 4 years? It's evidence of an unprecedented reshuffling of American spiritual identities that is shaking up fields from charity to politics. But despite their nickname, the nuns are far from godless. Many pray, believe in God, and have regular spiritual routines. So remember what this study is saying. It says that 1 in 5 Americans have no religious affiliation.
Well, what's that mean?
It means they don't identify with a religion. It doesn't mean they don't believe in God.
Like, what religion would you call yourself, bud?
What religion?
Yeah.
The Jesus Christ.
You're the Jesus Christ religion?
Yeah.
The Jesus Christ religion. In other words, you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's fine, but do you have a denomination?
Is that money?
No, you idiot. Denominationally?
Denomination.
A denomination is the name of the religion. Like, are you Lutheran?
No, I ain't Lutheran.
Well, what were you?
We went to the Jesus Christ Church.
What Jesus Christ Church? Did it have a name on the front?
Yeah.
What did it say?
It said the church. It said Fifth Street Church.
Fifth Street Church. So what was that, like Baptist?
Yeah, Baptist.
Where was it?
It was in California.
A Baptist church? Well, there's Baptist church in California.
There's also a Foursquare Gospel Church out where you grew up.
In Arcadia, yeah. All right, so you grew up Baptist, bud. That's the denomination.
Oh.
And Robert, what about you?
Well, we were Episcopalian.
Episcopalian, and I was Catholic. And Margaret, what about you?
We were Protestant. I don't know if it's probably Methodist. I'm not sure. My father was Unitarian. Frank, of course, is Jewish. We have raised Jason J. Delmonico in a very non-denominational, non-theistic theism. And
all right, well, what is that?
Well, Phil, don't get all, well, what is it? You know, just listen to me, all right?
Fine, but I got a feeling we're getting into some kind of...
We're getting into some kind of what?
Some heavy-ass New Age, you know?
No, it's not heavy-ass New Age anything. We've raised Jason J. Delmonico as a theistic. So he is theistic.
He's atheistic.
No, I didn't say atheist. I said theistic. Theistic.
What's that?
That is, you believe in God, but Margaret has yet to tell us, you know, in what form.
Well, what do you mean, what form?
Well, theistic means he believes in God.
We have, yes, but we've taught him a non-theism theism.
What does that mean? A non-theism? Does he believe in God or not?
He believes in God, but not so as you'd notice. That's the way Frank puts it.
He believes in God, but not so as you'd notice. That's the way Frank puts it.
Yes. Phil? All right,
fine. All right, so that's really what you're talking about there, though. That's exactly what's going on, man. That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I got an idea. Let's call up, like, Father McQuarrie or something.
But don't call up Dan Castellini or something.
Hey, call up Castellini. Call up Dave Castellini. You got his number?
Where's he?
He's in Phoenix. He's the minister there, the youth minister. We can call up Dave Castellini and get his take on this newfangled sort of non-denominational religion. And it's not anything that's surprising. It sort of comes of the post, I suppose, post-World War II rethinking of values, rethinking America's place in not only in the world but in the universe, and
America's place in the universe.
Well, you know, and all of those things that, you know, the just that, like they were saying, the shifting of values. These the numbers have increased dramatically over the past 2 decades, according to the study released on Tuesday. About 19.6% of Americans say they are nothing in particular, agnostic or atheistic, up from about 8% in 1990. 1/3 of adults under 30 say the same. Pew offered people a list of more than a dozen possible affiliations, Protestant, Catholic, something else, and nothing in particular, and something else and nothing in particular won.
Yeah, we got them all won. I got Dave Castorini. Hey, Reverend Castorini.
All right, hold on, bud. We'll have Reverend Castorini with us here in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we get to the bottom of the non-denominational atheistic or non-theism theism. See what I think? Okay.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? I see what you're saying.
All right, relax.
What? Why are you lisping?
We're fooling around. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. You see that?
See what?
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Reverend Dave Castorini of the Youth Ministry in Phoenix, Arizona, and Reverend Castorini joining us on very short notice. But, you know, Reverend Dave, we are talking about this study that says most Americans report no, one in five, I should say most, that's one in five, that's 20% of all Americans report no religious affiliation. Now, I know you're having a carnival tonight, correct?
We are, Phil. Thank you for inviting me in your program, but we are, yeah. And this is to benefit our scholarship fund, and we invite the parents of all of our kids. We do, of course, have quite a few adults in our congregation, but for those parents and our members of our congregation, because it is a youth ministry, so primarily, Phil, we have young people who are a part of our Sunday and Wednesday night services. But tonight we're having our fiesta, and as I said, we're going to be raising money for our scholarship fund.
That's great, and I wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome. And Margaret is here.
Yes, Reverend Castorini, how are you, sir?
Margaret, I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. Phil and I and Dick or
Bud.
Bud and Robert.
Yeah, Bud Dickman. How are you doing, Bud?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, Reverend. I was the one that called you.
Okay, you were the one that just called me right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we were talking, and I wanted to get your take on something. We're talking, of course, about the one in five Americans that do. Would you please not have him do that?
Bud, don't put your fingers in your nose.
But I do.
Just like that. But don't.
It's very distracting to me. It's very distracting to me. You understand, Bud?
I don't know. I'm not saying anything. I'm just trying to get...
See what he's doing?
Bud, don't... It's upsetting to people when you do that, okay?
What?
You just take my word for it.
Hey, Bud, this is Reverend Castorini.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just, you know, Bud, if you need to do that, you go in the bathroom and get yourself a tissue or something.
Yes, sir, okay.
There you go. Thank you, Reverend.
That's all right. I think very highly of Bud. I think he's a good young man.
Well, maybe you can do something with him, Reverend, and teach a little manners to him, because I think he's sometimes way overboard.
Well, you know what? Jesus said, wherever the least of these are, you know, I am...
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. I wanted to ask you...
Wherever the least of you are... I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
It seems wherever the least of you are, you and Phil and Robert, wherever the least of you, that the least of you is Bud.
I wouldn't want to say anything.
No, I think that's pretty accurate. If you want to say who's the least one, Bud is.
What did I do?
Nothing, man. You got to go in the bathroom and do that.
You don't put the tissue up your nose. Oh, God.
Lord.
That was a great impression of John Huston in Chinatown. Was that Margaret?
Yes, it was. Margaret,
what?
That sounded like John Huston in Chinatown.
What did?
You going, Lord.
Yeah, there's... In fact, I do a pretty good one. Here it is. This is John Huston in Chinatown. Margaret, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Here it is. Lord! Oh, Lord! Do you hear that one?
Yes, it's a very disturbing part of the film, because John Huston plays a man who has raped his daughter, played by Faye Dunaway. She's given birth to a child that is both her daughter and her sister. And, oh, God.
Well, now that you put it that way.
I understand, and I'm not trying to turn this into the Jerry Sandusky Variety Hour.
That's pretty funny, man. Hey, Bud.
Yeah?
They call it Jerry Sandusky Variety Hour.
That's pretty good.
You get the tissue out of your nose.
Oh, God.
I'm awfully sorry. I didn't mean to.
That's okay, Reverend. All right, now look.
You know, I really don't find anything. We're not doing John Houston impressions here, please.
I'm sorry, Margaret. That was uncalled for. Phil mentioned John Houston in Chinatown. It is one of my favorite movies.
It is, huh? I mean, and I say that. I mean, there's so many dark themes in that film.
Well, there are a lot of dark themes, Phil. Christians should not shy away from looking at art, even when it reflects those darker, those shadows, those areas that lack light in the human spirit and human nature. I think art needs to represent the human condition, and we learn from that, and we see those places. And as a Christian and as a Christian minister and one who strives to bring people closer to the Word of Jesus Christ, I need to see represented in all of its forms human expression. So, yes, absolutely. I think the film Chinatown, in some areas, it may celebrate darker instincts.
What do you think the film, what are the dark instincts it celebrates?
Well, maybe celebrate's not a good word, but I think it does celebrate a level of violence. I think it also seems to, it also expressed that in that film it expressed that sex or love can be used to manipulate or to gain, and I think that that's wrong.
Where did you see that? Is
in Jake, in the character of Jake Gittes, who sleeps with his client, Faye Dunaway, in order that he can gain, I think, more access to...
You don't think he was in love with her?
I think that was the point of the movie, that he does fall in love with her, just as he did another woman.
That's why they say it's Chinatown, Jake. It's Chinatown.
Yeah, but that would have meant, I think, most likely he fell in love with a Chinese woman. And how likely is it in those days that there was a wealthy Chinese woman, who lived in San Marino? I don't think so.
But it didn't have to be a wealthy Chinese. Why do you say it has to be a Chinese woman?
Because he worked in Chinatown.
Well, in any event.
This doesn't really have anything to do with it, but I wanted to ask you a question more to the point. Phil and I were talking here...
You don't agree that he fell in love with a Chinese woman?
I don't know that he fell in love with a Chinese woman. You're talking about Jack Nicholson in Chinatown.
Well, I'm talking about his character.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. I do know that the film keeps referencing something that happened in his past, and that he's about to go down the same road, and he's about to make the same mistake. You know, his friend, the police lieutenant, says, "You never learn, Jake." You know that line.
That's right.
And then I think, at the very end, his partner says to him, "Come on, Jake, it's Chinatown."
And there's also a scene with John Huston who says, "Did you ever work with the lieutenant guy in Chinatown, and did as little as possible?" And all of that bespeaks that Chinatown somehow represents heartbreak for Jake Gittes, you see. And so he felt that going steady or going out with or going with an Anglo or a white woman, I don't know, probably meant that, he wouldn't get in as much trouble. And then they tell him, look, well, you're still in Chinatown, you know.
So, well, I didn't see that at all. I didn't read that. I didn't see a racial component in that at all.
Well, the whole movie's called Chinatown.
Can we move past this, please? Because I really...
Yeah, let's get on to something else here.
Well, I know it's uncomfortable.
No, it's not uncomfortable so much as it seems bizarre. I mean, whatever. I don't want to talk about Chinatown. Margaret, go ahead.
Reverend Castorini, I'm hearing... What is that in the background?
We're having our carnival tonight. We're raising money for our scholarship fund.
Oh. Phil and I were talking about the Great Awakening here in the United States back in the early part of the 19th century. And we were talking about the number of different Christian cults, or not cults, but different Christian sects that sprung up during that period of time, that actually sort of put a lot of people off from Christianity, I think, Reverend Castorini, and had a lot of people opting for the Transcendentalists, for instance, as well as these other non-traditional, non-Christian groups. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, Margaret, there were an awful lot of Christian groups and sects that did travel across the country and were featured speakers and had 10 shows and all of the things we're familiar with here in the 20th century. That did happen in the early 19th century in America. One of them, a group whose name escapes me, would go from town to town wearing nothing but animal skins in an act of extreme poverty, in an act of extreme humility. Before the eyes of God, and I've always been very fascinated by those groups. I don't agree that they turn people off of Christianity,
Well, they sort of did, because as Margaret pointed out, the transcendentalists and some of the others that were non-traditional religious or philosophical societies, a lot of people opted for those because the numbers of these Christian sects were springing up everywhere.
Well, to that end, if they had come through David Castorini's town and I was a man living in those times and I had all my big boots and I was going out and I was turning dirt clods or I was selling dirt clods, I think in those days people used to sell dirt clods. That's how poor you could be.
And, excuse me, what were they selling?
Well, back in those days, people used to sell dirt clods or mud pies. That's how children today make mud pies, because you'd actually get down there and make a mud pie and sell it.
For what?
For money.
No, I mean, what are you selling a mud pie or what are you selling dirt clods for?
That's how poor people were, Phil.
Yes, but I think what Phil's asking is, what possible need would anyone have for a dirt clod?
I don't know, but that was all there was to sell, is what my point is. And so people would stand out on the side of roads selling dirt clods and rocks.
Selling dirt clods and rocks.
That's how poor things were.
Well, we're talking about the Jackson era, when things were not so much poor as things were really in flux.
Well, I don't know, Phil, but I could well imagine myself out on the side of the road selling my dirt clods or my rocks or however a man got along in those days. And into town comes these people wearing their animal skins, and...
I'm sure people saw dirt clods.
Shut up, man.
Sorry.
Bud.
But in any event, coming through the town would be these people in animal skins. And I got to tell you, if Dave Castorini saw that, I'd say, honey, let's sell the rest of these dirt clods, and let's get what we can get for these rocks and for those weeds that we just pulled. And
boy, you know, you've got me really thinking. Weeds and dirt clods.
That's right. That's what people sold.
Well, do you have any anecdotal evidence of this, or is there anything in the literature, you know, Reverend Castorini?
Margaret, I don't know. All I know is the stories and the history I've read is that they would sell dirt clods, weeds, anything, bugs, dead bugs. They would sell a bag of dead bugs.
For what?
Well, maybe they could feed them to the fish, or...
Yeah, they probably had a pot of fish or something.
I don't know. But I would, Dave Castorini, I would leap at the chance of putting on an animal skin. I would think that going from town to town wearing a bear skin with nothing else on, just the sheer humility of that, it would remind me of who I am truly beholden to. And shuffling from town to town, I know this is going to sound strange, but having sores on my legs, sores and matted, filthy hair and an animal skin that probably still stunk of the animal itself, probably even with some of the flesh or tissue of the animal hanging off of it. And
okay, all right.
I'm sorry, that got kind of graphic, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Excuse me.
Margaret, are you okay?
No.
Is Margaret all right?
No, she isn't. Bud, go and see.
Yeah, Miss Gray, you all right?
No.
She's not well.
She's not what? She's not healthy?
Well, yeah, she's not healthy.
Go.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Phil.
That's all right. She's got a queasy stomach. Let's take a break here. We are on with Reverend Dave Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministry as we talk with him about 1 in 5 Americans do not profess any religious affiliation. 1 in 5 Americans, and we're talking about a wide range of things. Christianity today, Christianity in the 19th century, other religious sects, and Reverend Castorini's idea that dirt farmers in the 19th century had to sell dirt clods, weeds, and bags of dead bugs. I don't know.
No, that's how poor they were.
That's how poor they were. All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret, you
Truth
all right?
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Back here, the Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, we're going to talk about Jerry Sandusky. He says he's innocent of sexual abuse charges. He blames a conspiracy. The former Penn State University assistant football coach is scheduled to be sentenced. I thought that was, yes, it's tomorrow. It's tomorrow. He will be sentenced on Tuesday. Today is the 8th, and this is a story that moved on the Philadelphia Inquirer feed for the 9th.
God. I think that man is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, he's a creep.
I don't think you're going to get any disagreement from anybody on that. But I always think to myself, I always try to, you know, I'm just this kind of think, okay, am I missing anything here? You know, as I draw my conclusions and as I state my opinions, you know, am I missing something? Is there, you know, innocent people have been convicted before.
Well, you don't think this man is innocent, do you? My God, Phil, have you read the charges?
Yes, of course I have, and I've read the all of the coverage, and let me tell you, the guys right now that have had a really hard time defending themselves. If you think Sandusky's has had a hard time, I mean, he's, you know, guilty, dead to rights. But those other guys, that Graham Spanier, I've been reading his jazz. But we'll get into it when we come back after the news. On the line with us is David Castorini.
Bill, can I comment on that?
Reverend, yes, go ahead.
I agree with you, Bill. You know, let's make sure that we've dotted our I's and crossed our T's on this. You don't want this to be. I've read where one of the defense attorneys put forward the idea that this man Sandusky might have been just soaping them down. You know, teaching them how to proper hygiene, that kind of thing.
Well, that sounds a little.
I know it sounds kind of kooky.
Kooky? That is offensive. Even if that's what he was doing.
You mean you're telling me that I read where the defense attorney said that? I mean, he couldn't possibly believe that.
I don't know.
Do you?
No, I don't believe it. But I do know that in our ministry, as you know, Phil, there's the second mile. We go the extra mile when it comes to bringing the word. And I've always believed that if that means that I have to send, and God forgive me for this, but if I've got to send a woman to your house to get you to pay attention, all right, okay, you win. You're right, she's left, I'm gone. You know that old country western song?
I know the song, yeah.
Yeah, what about it?
You're right, she's left, you're right, she's left, I'm gone. Right?
What about it?
Well, I'm just saying, you're right, she's left, I'm gone.
What's that got to do with this guy Sandusky soaping people up?
No, I was talking about how if all it takes, Phil, is for me to send a woman to your house, all right, with her high heels in her hands and a bottle of champagne.
So I haven't heard this. Are you saying you send a prostitute to people's homes to convert them?
No, I'm not, man. No, I'm not. A prostitute means she's been paid, she's a call girl, and she goes. And there's a pimp and all of that.
Well, what do you call what you do, Reverend Castorini?
Well, Phil, help me out here.
Well, I mean, you've talked about this before. I'm not sure I understand it.
Well, help me out, will you?
Help you out how?
I've been on your program talking about this.
I can help you out, Reverend Castorini. It's okay.
Well, bud, if you understand it.
Well, I don't think you're going to want him doing that, Reverend Castorini.
No, bud, if you understand it, I'd like it. I went into my office here because it's getting too noisy outside. If you understand it, bud, and you can you close that door, please? Close that door, will you, Amanda? Thank you. But if you understand that, you go ahead.
Yeah. See what Reverend Castorini is. If you want to go to God, but you're not sure, but a girl comes over and will do a oral, you know.
Yeah, you talk about she has a sex act. Well, you don't believe in God?
Yeah, but not the same way. You know what we're talking about is if she comes, if Reverend Castorini...
Oh, hold on, bud. You got to close that door. Hey, I'm talking on the radio. I'm talking on the Phil Henry Show. On the Phil Henry Show. Turn the whole carnival off. Turn the carnival down. Thank you. Go ahead, bud. I think you're doing well.
Yeah, so...
I don't think he's doing well. I think he's carving up whatever message you've been trying to send. Bud Dickman is sitting here carving it like a Christmas turkey.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
Margaret, I think you need to understand...
By the way, where's your office? Is it in some lead-lined vault? Because for a minute there, I could hear the carnival. As soon as you shut the door, well, now I can hear the carnival.
Yeah, hold on for a minute. Amber, shut the door, will you? I don't want any more. No, I don't want any more of that. Huh? I don't want any Italian ice. I don't like the name of that anyway. It doesn't sound... Yeah, all right. Go ahead, bud.
Go ahead, bud. You're talking to me.
Yeah, but saying that you can have sex with a girl if that takes you to Jesus.
That's all we're saying, Phil.
But no, and I was asking you, is your office in a lead-lined vault?
Yes, it is, all right? It is. It's in a lead-lined vault because we are afraid of the possibility of an Armageddon and the possibility of... We've always been an end-times an end times group, an end times sect, Phil. We believe in that.
Well, so, in other words, Reverend Castorini, you have an end times belief. You are in a lead-lined vault. You believe that sending a prostitute to a man's home...
No, ma'am, I didn't say prostitute.
All right. Sending a woman to a man's home will convert him to Christianity, and it's worth it. You'd like to walk from town to town wearing an animal skin and caked in mud with running sores on your legs.
That about sums up Dave Castorini, yeah. And I can't deny it. And I'm all... What? All right, I'm going to leave the door open because it's getting hot in here. As they said when they walked in, it smells a little bit, and I tend to perspire. I've got a difficult time. I can't use antiperspirant, Phil. And so as a result, I only use deodorant. And my body chemistry, when it mixes with the deodorant I use, which is a menin, it tends to smell like it smells like a toilet or something that's like dog dropping or something like that.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, so it's starting to stink like a dog kennel in here.
And that's because of you?
Who said that?
This is Margaret. That's because of you?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, because of my body chemistry. When I perspire, it intermixes with the menin deodorant, and it smells like a dog kennel. That's what I've been told it's most closely associated with.
Reverend Castorini, I hope you're
he's got his fingers in his nose.
Did a great job.